in season and out of season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom and Anthony today. We're going to speak more about the man that was crippled by the beautiful gate, who healed through the name of Jesus by John and Peter. Peter and John, they said to the crippled man, "Silver and gold we have not, but what we have we give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk." Hallelujah. I'm looking at Acts 3, verse 25. "You are the descendants of the prophets and of the covenant that God gave to your ancestors, saying to Abraham, 'In your descendants, all families of the earth shall be blessed.'" That's us. Hallelujah. We are descendants of Abraham spiritually. He is our spiritual father. And all the blessings of Abraham are given to us, and we must accept them. Yes. "When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you, to the Jews, to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." Chapter 4, "While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came to them, much annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming that in Jesus there is the resurrection of the dead." The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. I always tell you, they were sad, you see, and they are very upset that Peter and John are preaching about the risen Lord, that he healed the man that was crippled and now is jumping and leaping and praising God. "So they arrested them and put them in custody until the day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and they numbered about 5,000. So Peter and John are preaching. How we need preachers to preach the word of God, to preach the cross, to preach the blood, to preach the death of Jesus, to preach his burial, to preach his resurrection. How we need people to preach, because without a preacher, they do not learn, or they do not open their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are called to be the preacher to your family. You are called to witness about Jesus, about his death, burial, and resurrection. You are called to do this. And if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. It's not only going to crowds, it's to your own family that they hear that in Jesus is the resurrection of the dead.
God starts us off telling our family and our friends. And as we get the people around us, he expands us and expands us and expands us. You're the only gospel that a lot of people are going to hear. Tell them about Jesus. Be excited about the kingdom of God. Tell them the kingdom of God is here and Jesus created you. He wants to meet your need. Today, Jesus wants to bless you. Today, Jesus wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Today, the power of God wants to come upon you. So what can I pray for you for? And then lay hands on them and release the kingdom of God. Tell them not only about what Jesus did, but the new life Jesus has for them. That Jesus knows every hair on their head, every freckle on their face, and every pain in their heart. And right now, Jesus desires to encounter you. Right now, Jesus desires to heal you. Right now, Jesus desires to give you a new life with him. And all you have to do is say amen. Because an amen is yes to God.
"So they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those heard the word. They believed." You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. "And they numbered about 5,000 people. The next day, their rulers and elders and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were in the high priestly family, when they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and you ask now, 'By this man has he been healed,' let it be known in all of you that all the people of Israel, that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." They crucified him. Oh, yes, they crucified him, but they couldn't keep him dead. Amen. He's the resurrection and the life. And it is by this resurrection that this man is healed. They don't want to hear this. They don't want to hear this. They want to say, "Well, let's continue with our tradition." Oh, no. Peter says, "It is by the name of Jesus that this man has been healed. The name of Jesus of Nazareth." And that's what happens today. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. Get up and walk.
No, it's not about a tradition. It's about a personal encounter. It's about words, and it's about power. Wherever you are in your life, Jesus wants to raise you up like the man he was begging at the beautiful gate. Jesus, it says in the scriptures, Peter raised him up and said, "Go walk." And go walk, and he took off his beggar's cloak. He no longer needed to beg for money. He no longer needed to beg for survival. See, when Jesus encounters us, we are no longer beggars. We don't need to beg the Father to bless us. We receive every blessing in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Jesus begins to provide for us. Jesus begins to support us. Jesus begins to give us not a new life, but the life he always destined for you to live in. You see, when Jesus created you, he imparted your destiny within you. And every grace and every gift that you will need for this life, it's like a care package that is already within you. And when you receive Jesus, he activates you into your destiny. When you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit activates every spiritual gift within you, every grace, every power. He gives you a life which you are fully alive, beaming with the Holy Spirit and walking in the power of God. "For I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. Jesus didn't put you upon this earth to hope and wonder. He created you with a plan and a purpose. And we only are fulfilled when we understand why we were created by God. We're all created by God to love God and to serve God. But Jesus put you on this earth for a very specific reason. That's why the Bible says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." We can't have blind faith. We need to have knowledge to have faith. We need to know about Jesus to know the God we serve. We need to ask Jesus, "What are the plans you have for my life to walk in our destiny?" You know, the truth is what sets us free. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But as we receive Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit unlocks the truth of why you were created. You know, God has put very specific gifts and specific realms of his love and his glory within you that God can only be displayed in that specific way of himself through you, through your life. So today, Jesus wants you to be fully alive through the power of God. Today, Jesus wants you to ask him, "Jesus, why am I on this earth? What is my specific destiny? How do you want to use me? What do you want to do with me?" And Jesus, "I scrap my plans because I only want your plans for me."
"By what power, or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and people of the elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This is Jesus, the stone that was rejected by the builders, by the Jewish people. It has become the keystone. The keystone holds the whole structure up. Without the keystone, there's no structure. So let's continue. There is salvation in no other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we are called to be saved. We are not saved by Buddha. On his deathbed, he said, I still seek the truth. We are not saved by Mohammed, who says God is one and he has no son. We are not saved by any teacher. We are saved by the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is our only salvation. There is no salvation other than through Jesus Christ. Do you know that? You say, well, I am interested in all religions. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. Don't be involved with other religions. Be involved with Jesus. Have an experience with Jesus. Let Jesus be your friend. Let Jesus be your Savior. Let Jesus be your Lord. Let Jesus be your everything. That's what it's all about. You know, we do not hear enough about Jesus being preached. During these Easter days, we preach Jesus risen from the dead. And after Easter days, we preach Jesus risen from the dead, dying on a cross, buried and raised from the dead. We do it all year round. People say, you've been on the air 40 years. What do you keep on saying? Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ has plans for you. Jesus Christ was buried for you. Jesus Christ rose for you. That's what we preach, that he is alive. He is alive. He is alive. Do you know that today? That the risen Savior is alive. I went to the tomb of Mohammed. I went to the tomb of the prophets. But when I went to the tomb of Jesus, it was empty. It was empty. And you know, God's telling me something right now. Maybe you're still experiencing Good Friday and you haven't experienced Easter Sunday. Friday is here. Sunday is coming. Friday is now, but Sunday is coming. Sunday is coming in the power of the resurrection. Sunday is coming for you, not only for the world, but for you. He gave his life for you. He rose from the dead for you. He has plans, great plans, for you, for you. Yes, for you.
The prophet has spoken. Just believe it and receive it. Just believe it and receive it. You see, Jesus is just waiting for your yes to encounter you. Jesus is waiting for you to bring your walls down so he can flood you with the kingdom of God. It's God's will that you and every person on this earth lives fully alive. That's why he sent down his son. Salvation means to be saved. But you know what? Jesus wants us to be saved in each and every area of our life. Saved in our emotions. Saved in our finances. Saved in our heart. Saved in our memory, in our intellect. Jesus came to redeem what was lost, but every part of us. He didn't come so one day we could go to heaven only. He came so that we could bring heaven to earth. He was the meeting place on the cross. Jesus was suspended, but he pulled earth to heaven and he pulled heaven to earth. And he made you the new meeting place that when people encounter you, they encounter another dimension. They encounter another realm. Today, let your gates come down. Let Jesus come in. Let go. Let go. Let go. when we are holding on to things of this world, things of the past, things that have hurt us, we cannot hold on to Jesus. Jesus does not want us to be double-minded. He wants us to be singular. Look into heaven. Trust in the Father. God wants to bring an ease upon your life. When God created this earth and he told Adam, go and have dominion, this life was created to be joyful and easy. We're in a fallen world, but when Jesus dies and rose from the dead, he restored what Adam lost. He restored to us all power, all authority, all dominion, that we have dominion over ourselves, our emotions, every part of this world. And what it's about us becoming a pure vessel. Jesus can flow through us when we're a pure vessel. And being a pure vessel, it starts with letting go of sin, but that's the least part. It's letting go of our worries, our fear. It's letting go of all the pain, of all the anxiety. We let Jesus go ahead of us and fight our battles. You know, we're really battling with ourselves all day, but Jesus doesn't want an interior battle. Jesus just wants us to hear from the Lord and go do. Be grateful for the grace that God has given us today. God, thank you for the sun today. God, thank you for the rain today. God, thank you for whatever you have for me today. If I'm going through a hard day, Lord, you're using this to sanctify me and make me holy. If I'm going through a good day, Jesus, thank you for today. We want to thank and praise God in everything. We want to see God in everything. We want to surrender our will and fuse ourselves into God's divine will. We want to live this abundant life knowing that everything that happens to us is going to be used for God's glory. That wherever you are today, God has you exactly where you need to be to get to exactly where he needs to get you. See, God knows where he wants you to finish, and he operates backwards. So he takes you where what you need to go through to get you to where you need to go spiritually. And all you have to do is just be easy on yourself and let God take you through it. So many times we want to drive the car, but Jesus is saying, hop over the passenger seat. Let me pop the top in the convertible and just let me drive you. And Jesus is in driver's seat. And we're just go along for the ride. Sometimes it's going to be rainy and snowy. We might get a little wet or cold, but it's all good because Jesus has taken us to the promised land. Jesus has taken us to the final destination. Jesus has taken you to the land flowing with milk and honey. Flowing with milk and honey. Milk and honey is an archetype of God, how what he wants to do for you in your spirit, your soul, your body. What our exterior life reflects what's going on the inside of us. Jesus released milk and honey to flow within you. So then your life becomes ordered. Your life becomes great. Your life becomes victory. We pray right now, Holy Spirit, that the fire of your love falls upon every person in this room, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation just floods them with the glory of God today. Encounter them, Jesus. Encounter them with your power and your love. Let the milk and the honey flow into their soul.
Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, I tell you, they're not ordinary at all. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They're proclaiming the word of God. They bring healing to a man that was crippled. They are not ordinary men. But you know what? I was such an ordinary person. They used to call me Timid Tom. And I can tell you, I'm not timid anymore. I want to proclaim the name of Jesus. I want people to hear Jesus when they see me. I want people to know Jesus when they encounter me. I want people to know that Jesus is the light of my eyes. I want people to know Jesus. That's what it's all about. No longer timid. No longer timid, Tom. Let's continue. When they saw that the man who had been cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition, so they ordered them to leave the council while they discussed the matter with one another. What can you say? We knew this man. We used to put money into his cup, he was by the beautiful gate. Now he's walking, leaping, jumping, and praising God. What can we do? What can we do? We've got to admit that this happened, but we don't want them to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, I told you a long time ago, my father was dying, and this young man across the street from the rectory came with me to see my father. And after we saw my father who was dying, he said to me, "You need a friend." And he said, "I want to be your friend." Then he said, "But you cannot talk about Jesus." I dumped him. I dumped him. I didn't need that kind of a friend. I didn't need that kind of a friend. I wanted people to know that when they saw me proclaiming Jesus. The other day, we heard Mark give his testimony, and he spoke about me talking about Jesus, talking about our brokenness, wanting to heal us in the fashion that only he can through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's all about Jesus. Very interesting. We went to this wonderful dinner, and I prayed over so many people. I don't know if other people were praying over people, but people were brought to me. One young man, I spoke at his first Mass. When he came up to me, he said, "Could you bless me?" So I started to bless him, and he fell to his knees. I'm telling you, this is what happens when you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what happens when you represent Jesus. Do you represent Jesus? Are you a person that when they see you, they know that you have been with Jesus, that you're not an ordinary person at all? No longer are you ordinary. No longer are you like everybody else. You stick out in the crowd because you are filled with the Holy Spirit and power. You stick out in the crowd because you love the name of Jesus. You stick out in the crowd because you are in him and he is in you.
When the Father sees you, he doesn't see you, he sees Jesus. We want this world to be populated with billions and billions of Jesuses. You are not normal. You are supernatural. You are extraordinary. You have the power of God within you. You have the ability to change lives, to switch spiritual atmospheres, to do miracles. We need to allow Jesus to take command and control over our lives. When you walk in a room, Jesus calls you to have a command about yourself, because you're commanding the kingdom of God upon earth. You're commanding blessings to come from heaven. You're commanding people to be saved by the name of Jesus. Don't put yourself in a box, because when you make yourself little, you're making Jesus little. You are so important to Jesus. You are so special to Jesus. Jesus wants to use you for such extraordinary things. The day you receive Jesus is the day you became supernatural.
When they saw the man who had been cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. They knew this man. They themselves used to put money into his cup. Now he's got to go to work. Now he's been changed by the power of the resurrection. And so it says, so they ordered them to take leave of the council while they discussed the matter with one another. They said, "What will we do with them? For it is obvious all who live in Jerusalem that a notable sign has been done to them. We cannot deny it. We cannot deny it. But to keep it from spreading further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more, no more in this name." I'm going to tell you, they choose Jesus. They choose to speak in his name. They're not going to stop them. They're going to continue to proclaim in his name. And you know what? They get jailed for doing it. You see, these are the things that happen. Jesus promised that we would have persecution, that our lives would be persecuted because we love him. And we don't talk about that enough. You know, lots of people don't like me. Why? Because I preach Jesus. They think, you know, I'm all what it's all about. It's not about me. It's not about Anthony. It's not about us. It's about Jesus, who came and who gave his life for you, who came and who rose from the dead for you. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Do you know that today? Do you have plans with Jesus today? Do you know he's your risen Savior? Do you know that he's got plans for your life? Do you know these things today? Are you unhappy? Ask him to give you joy. Ask him to give you joy in the name of the only Son of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.